actually get over here into my pre-assigned position and then decide how much of this I'm going to leave in and post.
Oh, delightful.
Hello.
Nightmare.
And welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast. My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me tonight, Lorraine Morbido is here.
Doubt.
Why doubt? What's to doubt?
Hard doubt.
All right, she might be here. I'm not really sure. Additionally, joining us tonight, as I try to get cat hair off of this microphone, Kyle McGrath is here.
No doubt.
Oh,
there you go.
No
Kyle's,
doubt?
Kyle's definitely here. You might be here. It's me and Kyle and Gwen Stefani and maybe Lorraine.
Mm-hmm. Some people that fan that no one can name.
Don't blame.
The shit is bananas.
did she spin off at any point, or has she been?
Yeah, she had a solo career for early 2000s.
I couldn't tell you if a Gwen Stefani song is a Gwen Stefani song or a No Doubt song.
Right.
It's not important.
I don't know if she ever had horns because they were like actually ska. I don't think her solo career.
My brain is really gone. And when you said, I don't know if she ever had horns, and I was going
right.
to say,
yep. like Lucifer.
What?
Beelzebub.
That's what I was thinking there.
Gwen Stefani.
Horns, parentheses, musical instruments.
Brain, parentheses, has none. Redacted.
Brain stop.
You know,
right.
You're making a lot of sense.
We're going to talk about stuff and things tonight.
Oh, God. I'm
much shorter handed than usual.
Good and entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Phil and Wade are both presumably busy with house things. And I don't know, Brian didn't see Eternals and or... Like, I haven't heard from Brian that much. Like, you talked to him yesterday.
Him, Josh, and I were all vibing yesterday while Josh and I did his Rat King Catalyst on the moon.
Oh, nice.
Assuming he's doing okay. New job stuff still, probably.
Yeah.
Bumped into the chat on PlayStation a few times.
Mm-hmm. He's around.
He's around.
Yeah. Been busy. I mean, everybody's busy.
Everybody's busy. Everybody's doing like 80 things. And I'm just like, I sometimes go make pottery and then sometimes I don't feel things. Sometimes those circles overlap. Like today. Day was rough. Thank God it was slow.
Okay, you said it wasn't busy, so.
Yeah, I didn't give that guy enough time to talk.
Good.
Christ. I did get called Elaine again today.
That's so funny.
And then he like instantly corrected himself. He spent like...
But he fixed it?
He
like,
did
on the spot.
In like,
right.
like a sentence or two Progress. Afterwards. But he spent like an entire day calling me Elaine like a month ago when he was presenting regularly after knowing my name was not Elaine. And
I mean, it's getting better.
I'm also Loretta to someone
else. It used to be nothing and then Elaine and then like now he actually theoretically knows
your name. I'm one of our potters who specializes in decorating. Not a decorator. A potter who specializes in decorating.
I mean, that's been errors to me for the people walking to the shop.
But he'll say that like multiple times in the span of like a quote unquote paragraph of his speech. And it's just like, say decorator, you idiot. I hate him. Anything that, anytime he opens his mouth and says anything,
pottery
doesn't matter.
Pottery decoration engineer.
What it was, what it is. I'm instantly mad. You've procked me. And I hate it.
Indeed. Yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff and things tonight. I do want to talk about the Eternals, because that's the thing that happened.
It happened.
We watched the other week.
That was early.
Line by line, have an extensive discussion about every property being announced at Disney Plus Day yesterday.
I did bring up a list.
I
just
see
just to have it.
Through that.
But I don't know if discuss is the right word, but
critique.
Berate.
I don't even know if acknowledge is the right word.
Yeah, something like that. What else? Oh, the thing I heard today, which is interesting, which is non-Disney related, non-movie related.
What?
Halo might come out on Monday, which is neat.
Get the multiplayer, right?
Yeah, that there's
a
bunch of people leaked in combination with like some stuff like exposed on some back end websites and stuff that like that the Halo Infinite multiplayer might come out on Monday, which would be both the 20th anniversary of the Xbox and Halo.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Microsoft has some press conference thing in the afternoon. Mm,
that's
so.
Some brain start right there.
Go buy your Sega Saturns.
Yeah, right, exactly. No. Except you just click a button on an digital interface now, as opposed to like haul ass to your Toys R Us and see if they've got one.
I'm always $500
on a console with no games.
Right. Knights, and I think that's all. No, I'm not even sure if Knights was a Knights probably a launch title on Saturn. I don't fucking.
Isn't that a Dreamcast?
I never owned
game?
A Saturn. I don't know. Knights was a Sega Saturn game. I know that.
Nah. I know very little about Sega consoles, and even less about the Saturn. So
there's the best stuff there, like
that was
between what was made by like the American Sega because they were trying to compete the American market, and Japanese Sega because they didn't give a crap. Like the Sega CD happened, even though the Sega Saturn was happening a year later. All kinds of stuff. Like
I love
that.
Seeing
really
pictures of the. I guess it would technically be the Mega Drive with all the add-ons clipped onto it.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
The Voltron of garbage.
They sold those
for
the...
My favorite Transformer.
That was the funniest thing about their... Like, I didn't buy their retro console thing or whatever, but their version of the SNES Classic or whatever, they sold a little Genesis. And they sold non-functioning plastic peripherals you can stack all the stuff on.
And Knuckles?
I don't know if they sold that cartridge, but they sold, like, they sold the Sega CD and, like, the 32X. But, like, they didn't do anything. They're just pieces of plastic you can stick to your other piece of plastic technically had a motherboard in it. Let's still let you write it is
I mean,
funny.
Yeah, that's cute. It's stupid, but it's cute. You get, like, sparkle points or whatever. And then non-redeemable sparkle points.
We'll see if that comes to pass. It seems pretty likely at this point.
Fantastic.
I'll be curious. Like, I'll play that for, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour just to dip in and see what's up. See what all guns are actually in that final version and, like, what maps there are or whatever.
How'd Telesto get here?
That would be a surprise. Telesto has become so self-aware that it's just jumping games now.
Can't be contained.
It's going turbo, you know.
Telesto.
To use a Disney parlance.
Oh, no. Wreck-It Ralph 3, there's just Telesto.
No Wreck-It Ralph spinoff thing in the Disney Plus. Like, all the other, like, every other property under the sun gets some dumb spinoff, but not Wreck-It Ralph, apparently. John C. Reilly, too busy. Sarah Silverman, booked solid.
What did we just... It was School of Rock, I was going to say. We just saw her in something.
Yeah, right, I didn't remember. It just puts a pretty bit part in that
movie. Yeah, but she was there. Uh-huh. Like, away. So we had just watched those movies with my sister. Not too long ago.
Right, they let that IP go away. Like, I assume the second one did well enough at theaters to warrant more.
I probably did fine. I have no idea. That's a good question.
I bet just because of like the nature of the like cameos in it, that it's just so much work.
The first one had more video game stuff, and the second one is like that's the worst thing about that movie by flat out. But I suspect that's gonna stink like fucking sour milk kind of hot roadway 20 years from now when Facebook has finished just destroying democracy and Google Glass is implanted into your children at birth or whatever, like Google Glass 6.0. the fact that they have all these funny nods to all these tech companies that we love. But anyway. Let's get into it. Speaking of Disney nonsense, I think we'll start with the Eternals and work backwards to just like anything anyone else is interested in talking about.
Should I start with my hot take, Dustin?
Yeah, specifically the other day said she had a hot take. What's your hot take on the Eternals?
I think that I gained more from watching Dune than I did the Eternals.
Oh, I enjoyed Dune.
I felt something watching Dune.
I have problems with Dune, but I'll take Dune over Eternals 10 times out of 10.
I like Dune more than Eternals too.
Yeah, but you already like Dune.
What a good opinion.
It's bad when I say that because I don't like Dune that much. It's bad for the Eternals.
I give Dune somewhere between an 8 and a 9. I give Eternals like a 7.
That's a little high.
That's high.
I get Dune like a 6, and Eternals like a 3.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Dune is like, like I said, my problems with Dune are totally different than my problems with the Eternals, because like Dune makes sense for like, right, like it technically makes sense for what it is. My mm-hmm. real problem is with the Dune, the movie,
the game,
like the movie they released so far, is that like, like as a standalone thing, I think it's kind of boring and uninteresting because you don't really feel the need to
anything,
like root for anybody or get super invested in any individual character's like progress through the narrative. And then like, again, we talked about this a little off the podcast, I think, but upon like exposing myself to more information about the source material, having never read any part of Dune mm-hmm. and just watched that film, like that's not really what Dune's about. So in that sense, right, I get it. But then I also think the movie kind of fails for me for a different reason, which is that it also doesn't, in the amount of Dune that they've released so far, like sufficiently embody the thesis statement of what Dune is actually about. Because it's not done, because it's like half of one book. Like, they didn't finish it. So, like, I don't know. I think when you charge me, you know, $15 for a movie ticket, or I guess whatever my HBO Max subscription is, like, I just want you to give me, like, a complete narrative. Like, give me a beginning, middle, and an end, not, like, a to be continued. That's all I'm asking.
But it's just beginning. This is just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
That's right. Thanks, Zendaya. Right.
She says it right there.
I know. It's terrible.
Wink.
I mean, she's also like, it's POV, you are Paul. So she's staring directly at the camera.
Right into the camera.
Zendaya, no.
Say no. 7-movie contract. Let's go.
Woo.
But yeah, Dune, at least, like I said, Dune makes more sense. Like, it is a more logically, like, there are things about the Eternals that just are baffling to me that, like, I'm not even 100% sure where to begin.
Literally, seconds into the movie, there's, yeah, like, four paragraphs of text.
And that is lame.
In dead silence.
Start on a weird foot.
No, and that like, is like Star Wars nonsense.
Right,
it's
like,
just
did you guys
black screen.
Did you guys run out of money? Like, did you not even have enough money to have, like, pay one of the 15 actors in this movie to like narrate this? Like,
because we just watched Shang-Chi again because it came out on streaming services, and that movie also starts with like a exposition dump, but it's over like you can watch
visuals,
yeah, you
and,
watch
like,
stuff
with words like a movie. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And like that's not a unique to the Eternals thing. Things do that. In fact, the like even though it's like a weird tradition for Star Wars, because that just goes back
somehow
to
Palpatine
weird,
has returned,
like, Flash Gordon nonsense. But that was back, like, used to its worst excesses ever in that third Star Wars movie, just because they backfilled the whole plot of like a different movie that would have taken place before this one in that text.
Yeah,
like, so there's, we're talking about other weird Disney failures.
Last Jedi who? Don't
like,
care.
Like, they just drop Emperor Palpatine has returned into the non-spoken text on screen.
Did I miss an episode?
Right, like, what? Did I black out?
Yes.
Like, did I miss a couple
the
years of my life?
Yes. All
did I wake
above.
From a coma and then, like, come see this movie?
Coma theory, that's how the ninth Star Wars movie? Right?
Nine
they're all in threes.
Doesn't count Solo or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
no one should count Solo.
Yeah, the numbered ones. That's a number 9.
I can't wait for Star Wars.
But you're right, Lorraine. Both that it is just indicative. It's a weird choice that is just because there are so many weird choices in Eternals.
Yeah, that one even to me sticks out. It's like, what are you doing?
I couldn't believe it when like the previews ended and it's like, and now enjoy your show, and then it's just a black screen with silence and white text with a few words colored like Zelda
and
text.
The other thing,
and
you
it
said,
was just like, what?
The other thing you said, Lorraine, that this was off the cuff. Either it was either out here,
me
like around the house
snide
after
the
movie
theater,
or it was walking out of the theater. But it was like, I think it was when we got home.
I don't remember
that.
Anything.
Like, they do an okay enough job of telling you all that over the first 15 or 20 minutes of the movie anyway.
Yeah.
So like,
it was ultimately not that important.
Right. So I'm like,
I didn't learn otherwise.
Like, I wonder if that was like a thing, like that was the cheapest possible thing that they could add after like test screenings. They're like, people don't remember what the deviants are, but we don't want to spend any money.
I mean, movie comes out in 2 weeks.
Right.
The movie comes out tomorrow.
I would believe that 100%. That's how that happened.
Because, yeah, they do go into, like, they just do say all that stuff in the way that you would in a movie, because that's what movies are. They're, like, moving pictures with audio.
Chuck Hughes.
But then, like, I'm trying to think of other stuff. Like, as far as things that I liked about Eternals, before we get into all the rest of the stuff that's weird and crazy and kind of dumb, like, I do like that it wasn't just a, like, it wasn't Black Widow, and that it wasn't, like, it didn't devolve into necessarily, like, a somewhere between, like, a paint-by-numbers Marvel thing and, like, just an excessive, like, totally nightmarish swirl of explosions.
I mean, it was
like,
totally
it wasn't quite
different.
That. It was different than that.
There
were going
an army
for a different...
deviants that had to be felled at the end.
I feel like they were going for, like, the Thor-iest vibe of any Marvel movie since Thor. Of, like, I feel like this is, other than, like, the little sprinklings of the jokey jokes or whatever, this is the Marvel movie that I think takes its own internal, like, canon most seriously. Like, they're doing big, sweeping, universe-building nonsense of, like, here's the, like, the genesis story of the Marvel universe.
Right.
Great.
Like, that's neat.
Right, it's like, here's Marvel's creation myth, which on its face, right, like, I'm not, like, that's fine. I'm not opposed to that necessarily. But it does, like, I think that does pose other problems for the movie down the road, where it's like, well, once you've pulled out to that degree, like, once you're at such... like a wide sweeping like overview of
the
macro is
macro level,
right? Like I think fundamentally it's strange to me that like they show each of the main Eternals having like eventually some tie to humanity. That's like, oh, we gotta save humanity because I don't know, we like them. but I feel like they don't play with that idea nearly enough. Like if I asked you what the thesis statement is of Eternals is, like, what would just the best you could come up with? Like, the closest I could get is that, like, it's better for humanity to exist than not.
Don't let the egg
humans
hatch.
Humans are the real gods.
Which is
don't
like,
don't let the egg hatch.
Which is like, I guess, you know, if you're a human being who lives on planet Earth, that's hard to argue with, but it's also not exactly like a big swing.
But also in, like, the grand Marvel scheme, it doesn't matter, because there's, like, hundreds of thousands of other, like, civilizations out there. Like, who gives a fuck? Yeah.
Well, and there's other questions I have about that, too, about, like, where they're going with Marvel stuff as a whole at this point. Like, outside of the Eternals, here, I'll ask my two big questions.
They didn't let the egg hatch.
I'll ask my two big questions to you guys outside of the Eternals specifically, and you can tell me what you think the answers are, because I'm not actually 100% sure I know either of them. The first one is where we are, like, post-Eternals, because we have to assume that, like, just based on the precedent that was set in Endgame... I think it's just assumed that, like, every Marvel movie exists present day, right? Unless it says it's in a different time period.
I mean, probably.
Well, you could argue about the order, but yeah.
Right, but, like, we already assume that the things that happen in Eternals, I mean, basically happen today.
I mean, I'm pretty
Marvel
sure at
Universe
one point
canon.
It just said present day over anything that wasn't, like,
right.
Babylon, like, in...
Right, yeah, 500 BC or whatever.
Yeah.
I think technically they're still, like, 2 years ahead of... our calendar year because of the 5-year skip.
That's
right.
Fine.
Yeah, who cares?
But like present day Marvel timeline, like this isn't like in the distant past or like super distant future from the events of Endgame. So my first question is like, knowing that and like thinking of the other stuff that we've seen recently with like the TV shows that have come out so far on Disney Plus and whatnot and the last couple movies like Shang-Chi and Black Widow or whatever. And Black Widow is even weirder because that's a whole other thing. But
temporally.
Like, do the Avengers still exist? Today,
right.
as like a crime fighting team, like are they even a thing right now?
I mean, to get into like nerdy crap, no, they don't. Most of them aren't there or dead or off world. Like you, have
yeah, because like
Doctor Strange hanging around or Spider Man hanging around.
Yeah,
there's Spider-Man's not like a team hanging out at Avengers Mansion waiting for
Tony Stark is dead.
Because I think
Captain America's dead.
I think
but he's a different Captain America now.
Right, I think that's kind of a problem, and I don't think it's a problem in that like that there isn't. Exactly a stacked up lineup of people that they're calling the Avengers right now. I think it's kind of a problem that they haven't outright said one way or the other what the state is of this former like I guess they've kind of inferred it because like you said everybody's kind of doing their own thing. Like Wanda's off, you know, she had her episode.
I didn't know Morris.
She's off doing whatever. Like you said, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man are kind of hanging out on their own until I guess they get together in that next Spider-Man movie or whatever. But
and I mean, like we saw Bruce Banner again. Like he's not the Hulk. Bruce or whatever.
Right, there was that scene at the end of Shang-Chi where a couple people are talking about.
Right, him and
Captain Marvel's out
and
doing
Captain
who knows
Marvel.
What. Like, I feel like everyone is mostly accounted for.
See, Avengers are
for
Avengers
Thor?
Are somewhat assembled.
Or no, Thor's with the Guardians.
He's with
that's
Guardians,
right?
He'll be in that third Guardians.
I'm sure he'll be in Thor 4.
Thor, but like T H O U R. The other thing
I was gonna say is that like the Eternals seem to think that the Avengers are together, which I still think that line is weird in this movie because again, right. like the stakes they're playing on are so much higher than the Avengers. the fact that they're name dropping the Avengers in like a fun way.
If you're looking at it on like in like a world level, I'm assuming the people that are counted quote unquote as the Avengers would be Spider-Man, probably still Thor. To some degree, because he's alive. Bruce Banner is probably still in there. Ant-Man. Maybe the Wasp. I don't know. Fucking Goop Lady, whose name I can't remember.
Goop Lady.
She had Iron Man armor. Probably the new Black Panther. That's a person there. Captain Marvel.
This is dumb and pointless, but like... The last time that we saw the Avengers did something like on a public scale that people saw was like Captain America 2, so I would just consider those to be the public Avengers, like Captain America, Black Widow, Scarlet Witch, Falcon, and you know everybody else that was in that movie to start. And, you know, whatever people know about them past then, mm-hmm. hard to say. Just we don't see that from a public view.
Yeah.
So they might know. They may all think Captain America is still... I guess they wouldn't know about a new Captain America now.
Sure.
Sean knew who Wong was. Like, I don't know if it was, like, before that fight.
Well, you mean, sure, he's got his trading card or whatever. Like, I don't know. He saw him on TV at the Battle of New York originally or something. Just assume that everybody knows everybody who's associated with that adventure. Okay. It's fine.
They skipped their introduction scene. Mm-hmm.
If you want the most racist answer, all Asians know each
Jesus,
other.
Jesus, Dustin,
that's
shit.
How the Marvel Universe works.
Fuck,
that's
man. Jesus, Dustin.
No, I just assume that, like I said, that like everybody who's Avengers adjacent, like, is kind of like that. The universe just kind of figures that all people have seen them on TV or like read an interview in fucking, I don't know, Vanity Fair or something.
Right,
Wong on the cover of GQ.
Right, exactly, 100%.
He deserves it.
And the Avengers are whoever we need them to be in any.
Sure,
game.
But that's like, true. I guess we've come to a conclusion that they are sort of an Avengers team still in action. But yeah. Then that backs into my second question, which is, what are we building toward? Exactly.
That's a great question.
This time, because that's part of like it's not again it's nowhere near the biggest part problem with the Eternals specifically.
They're gonna let the egg hatch.
And this is a little late, but I'll throw it out there anyway because we're gonna get more detailed as things go on. But spoilers for Eternals and everything Marvel related ever that's out already. If you are listening and care.
I'm listening and maybe don't care.
But like, because I'm gonna spoil every movie that's come out. Like, so we're
movies that I've seen
in the recent like Marvel like the post snap the post Endgame MCU. We are potentially building to some team of Avengers who will potentially deal with the consequences of either the fact that the multiverse exists or the fact that Celestials are super
pissed.
Powerful, angry things that can control all life of the universe, basically, or the gate to hell that the hell demons come out of and eat souls from. Is it one of them, is it all three, is it like those three sequentially I just don't know,
send me to the dark world.
Like in the lead up to Thanos showing up, we were finding Infinity Stones and waiting for Thanos to show up. Like it was they were going oh. towards one like culmination of a conflict. Mm-hmm. And I truly don't know like what we're doing right now in terms of like what they maybe are trying to do with the greater storytelling in the MCU. And my
they're repopulating the board basically.
Well, right, that's but my most cynical and that's where I've been at lately with Disney and Marvel stuff. My most deeply cynical take on this whole thing is that we are never converging in the same way that we did in the past, and that all of this is just to set up. Like it's basically what they did with Star Wars before they pulled the plug on a bunch of those Star Wars movies and stuff. They were like, all right, we're going to throw out 17 TV series and 18 movies, and if you hate 75% of them, that's fine, because we got more, and none of it really matters relative to the other stuff, which is like the opposite of what, you know, they've done with the MCU mm-hmm. up to this point, kind of. So, like that's my fear of what's happening here, is that they'll just, like, they'll greenlight any number of projects and just throw every single thing out of the kitchen sink into the wall and hope that some of it sticks.
If you count the TV series, then I would they're just going to be all kinds of TV series that you probably won't even need to see for the most part for the creator story.
There'll be
I think the movies are still kind of a more of a straight line in terms of.
I hope so, but that's narrative. Still like the Eternals doesn't really feel like it has anything to do with the stuff that came before mm-hmm. it. Like it's just such a weird outlier, and like Shang-Chi is like a total like it, with nothing in that movie except the very end indicates that it's going to tie in any significant way, and that's such a cryptic like non-committal. There's like the rings are important, like okay,
right?
And Black Widow obviously is not doesn't count because that's before all this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. I assume that there'll still be a pretty solid line in terms of creating these movies and. You know, assuming that people have seen some movies and not so much the TV shows, unless they're directly related, like the Captain America movie will refer to this.
Sure.
Captain America or Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and in terms of that kind of stuff with Eternals, like in terms of the core meta narrative, I think that's the part where it let me down a little. Like, and again, most of the problems I have with Eternals are not this, but one of them is like I wanted, you know, I liked Loki quite a bit for the most part. And that kind of also feels like it stalls out right at the end to set up the next thing.
Mm.
And I really wanted like the next movie thing to pick up that ball in some way. And it just feels like they totally sidestepped it. Like I said, this is just a whole different unrelated conflict that seemingly has nothing to do with whatever else is going on in the universe.
Mm. I wonder how much COVID scheduling and reschedules and delays changed all this in terms of when things came up relative to each other.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I had heard that Shuri's actor, her unvaccinated status is delaying any kind of Black Panther shooting.
Dope. Glad to hear it.
I think that
fucking
was her.
Celebrities. I'm just gonna whoever that is, fuck you. I don't have the data on my hand to see who's vaccinated, who's not in Disney movies.
Man, I really like her character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't come on. Just play ball. Be a fucking person. Go get vaccinated.
Fuckhead.
Yeah, that sucks.
Anyway,
it tied in. It was
sure.
Just,
it did.
Uh huh.
Delaying.
But like yeah, right.
Some
if
other
these things aren't written as a straight narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get pieces added in and taken out constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like I don't know, man. It just feels like a really weird time for all this shit right now. And like I said, the dozens of TV shows that they're announcing, like the stinger for this movie. Which, like, I think the end, like, the pre-credits end is bizarre, and I think the post-credits endings are also bizarre. Because what's the are there two or one? There were two, right?
There's two. Well,
there's the one that sets up more Eternals in the future with...
Yeah! Fucking
other.
With Harry Styles. God damn it. Which
that
is,
was.
Like, in a movie with already, like, at least three or four too many Eternals, the fact that, like, the Stinger thing, one of the Stinger things is another Eternal is like, okay, guys.
But Patton Oswalt's in it now. Give me more.
And then the other one, which is even worse, which is like
Jon
like,
Snow.
This is one part
touching a sword.
Right. This
whatever.
Is one part of this movie that infuriated me. Like, if this guy matters, like put him in the movie for real. Like they already had like a human character. Like they had Kongo, the one with the Kumail Nanjiani. Then his character's dumb, stupid name.
Kingo.
There you go.
Kingo.
They had his butler following them around as like a human
mm-hmm.
who's just kind of present for the proceedings. If you're gonna do that, and this other character is going to matter, right? Have that character involved in the narrative, like instead of like one cell phone call and like the 3 minutes in the beginning that barely makes sense.
Also, they didn't have to carry that character all the way to the top line.
Because we get to that, and it's
like that was a hammier thing that it did. It's like, here's this character that's important, but we won't explain why for
Right, and it is a two-way shitty teaser because he is not set up any way that is interesting or meaningful in the movie that they made. And then you get a voice off screen, which like if you go read the blog, like or read the comments or whatever, it's fucking Blade telling him not to pick up that sword, which is a character that doesn't exist in the MCU that we've never seen before. And then, Like, that's nothing to get excited about. Like, you guys are just fucking with people now. Like, you couldn't even pan to him and at least show that he's, like, a cool black vampire. You just have an unrelated voice off-screen that no one is aware of. Like,
I assume he missed his flight to go film that, so they just had to voice it in.
Right! Camp. Like, it's just, ugh. So dumb and so lame.
Is Jon Snow a vampire?
No, I don't think so. I think that sword is just magic and, like, evil. Okay.
It's an evil sword.
Right, it's an evil sword.
Then why is there a vampire?
Because, I don't know, vampires...
They hang out.
He's a good vampire.
Okay.
He's like Edward. Is Edward a vampire?
Is
Edward
a vampire? Or he's a half vampire?
He's a half vampire. Yeah, he's a daywalker. He's a daywalker. He's vampire enough that he's, like, a badass, but not vampire enough so he can, like, walk out in the sunshine.
Okay. I gotcha.
He hunts vampires.
He hunts
so
other
he
vampires.
He is Alucard.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's basically Alucard. You're right.
That sums it up. Your daddy issues, I assume.
Right.
Don't we all?
But, like, yeah, like, what are you guys even doing? Like,
they don't
come
know.
On. And again, that doesn't tie into the main, like, it's just, like, the only thing I could think of after digesting that for a little bit in my brain was, like, oh, I guess those guys will have a TV show together, or they'll each have their own TV show. Or, like, whatever the fuck.
Movies on the schedule somewhere.
And again, like, that's not... Like, I want them to make less projects and try hard on them. Not to do the opposite. But, like, apparently we're getting a fucking Agatha Harkness show, which, like, okay. I roll my eyes at you, Marvel. Like that song did real well on iTunes or whatever, so you're like, yeah, this seems like a good idea. Like, I don't know, man.
I really like Catherine Hahn, so, you know.
Yeah, right, I do like Catherine Hahn just as a person. Like, I think she's a good actress. She's funny. But, like, does her character need her own TV show? Like, I don't know, probably not.
We gotta know about the witches or whatever.
Well, that's in my mind. I'm like, that's gotta be just, like, a flashback. Like, it's gotta be her coven, right? That's my guess to what that show is about. Is, like, it's just the flashbacks from WandaVision, but, like, over the course of 8 or 10 episodes or whatever. Or it's just, like, just WandaVision again, where, I don't know, she's, like, trapped in her own brain because Wanda fucked up her head before she left town or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how these things all play out, because, you know, it's obviously overwhelming. You're like, here's 100 projects coming out. Watch them all, you idiot.
Yeah, but, right. Like, and even, like, even in a, like...
The last year of content release, though, has been pretty manageable. Like, there's a couple of shows. You'll see one episode a week. That's not hard to keep up on if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an appropriate amount of content drops for me.
Right, 100%. I 100% agree.
If they drop 4 shows a month, then, you know, they're going to lose people.
Yeah, and again, it felt like it felt like up to this point for those TV projects, it felt like to me that they picked them pretty well, mm-hmm. and that, like, I enjoyed all the 3 live action series in its own way. Like, I liked,
mm-hmm.
like WandaVision. I liked Captain America. What was that show actually called? Falcon. Captain Falcon. Not Captain Falcon.
Falcon.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And Loki. I liked all those just fine.
Yeah, they're all good.
But like you said, even if they you assume that they're all good, do I need like 9 of them instead of 3? Like, I don't know. And that's a big if right there.
No, it's a what if.
don't get me started.
Some of these, you know, are full series of, you know, 14, 15 episodes. Some are like 4 or 5. I think it's 6 episodes.
Yeah.
I'm willing to wait for these things to play out before I render judgment on them.
That's fair. It's just like you said, it's already exhausting without, just the quantity is exhausting without even getting into, like, what they actually are about. Or, like, it's just
a lot. That's what, you know, idiots with YouTube channels and the people that follow them need.
Perfect. Sure, I guess. Like, and in fact,
give me the fodder.
They're like, they're building a slate, not for, like, people to watch, but for people to comment on. on a like a 4-day every 4-day basis
content engagement. Dustin, become a cog in the machine.
Shot silence face consume product.
Something like that.
I must consume, and it's just the moon looking at Disney Plus.
Even Mickey Mouse ears.
But the other thing about those recent movies, and then we can back our way into talking about more specifics about the Eternals, is that
Backing into the Eternals.
Yeah, that's right. Right now, we watched Shang-Chi again the other day because it came
literally
out
literally yesterday,
Plus, yeah, like 24 hours ago.
Literally yesterday.
And the other thing about that relative to like to MCU stuff is that for me rewatching that movie, I still enjoyed it, and the best things about it have nothing to do with Marvel. Like the best things about it are that it's a fun kung fu movie And you don't see that many of those very often, not like with major Hollywood budgets that come out in America. And the things that are like the slowest or the most sluggish or just the most shoulder shruggy are like the fact that they put the fucking Mandarin in there for way too long, and like the tie-in at the end, which like I said is just like more of a like that feel it felt more like nothing than like good or bad. It's just like, all right, this is,
when you say the Mandarin, you mean the fake Mandarin?
Yeah, right. That okay. they brought fucking goddamn it, what's his name?
Ben Kingsley,
yeah. They brought Ben Kingsley back for like, I don't know, way too long.
Yeah, I like that he was in that movie, but he was in it too much.
Like I said, I could have stayed with him being cut completely, but at the very least, if they were going to like do that little cameo, they should have left it in the compound.
Yeah,
like he didn't need to come along for the whole car ride. That like that was the other thing, which I noticed that on first viewing, and on the second one, I was even like, on the first viewing, I was like, oh, you guys got some automotive product placement, didn't you?
Yeah, no kidding.
And in the second viewing, I was like, why are they driving in this scene instead of walking or? Like, and it's because somebody paid a lot of money to have their BMW in there or whatever the fuck it was. But other than that, you know.
For now, I think I would maybe enjoy that the last couple of movies haven't been like directly in the blood of the MCU timeline. The plot, just having them be kind of standalone stories is fun, and new characters, new environments and everything. But I'm gonna give you the list of the next, I don't know, seven or so. Spider-Man sequel, Doctor Strange sequel, Thor sequel, Black Panther sequel, Captain Marvel sequel, Guardian sequel, Ant-Man sequel, Fantastic Four.
That is a lot of shit.
There's nothing new coming character-wise for the most part for a while.
And to be fair, honestly,
at least
I bet
not like a leading character.
I do think that's like, part of why I like Shang-Chi 2 is that it is nice to get an origin story once in a while. Like you can't do that every time, but like it's just nice to have a reset where like, all right, here's some new people with new issues. And like, and then go from there. I do think that movie is like again, having watched Eternals like a roughly week before and then watching it again, it just makes more sense. I think it's edited a little better. Like there's fun, kinetic, funny cuts in that movie that like Eternals feels like the exact opposite that to me. Like,
yeah, like I don't think anybody's going to defend the editing of that.
Yeah, like Shang-Chi, Shang-Chi mostly, like I said, mostly. Breeze, like I feel like Shang-Chi is extremely well paced until you get to the tail end of the compound stuff. Like when Ben Kingsley shows up, that movie really starts to chug a little bit. I mean, it's not just him; it's just the fact that like that's where the narrative goes, or like they get to him, and then they go to the magical city or whatever, and then that gets into the most boring part of every Marvel movie now, which is like a big dust up with a bunch of extras that nobody gives a shit about.
CGI fight sequence.
That was one of the worst examples of it too. These two sides start fighting. It's pointless, and 5 minutes later they stop.
Yeah, like if you cut all of that sequence out of the movie and just had the culmination be like Shang-Chi versus Dad,
yeah,
and then the movie's over, like it would just be better for it, honestly. But anyway, like up to that point, I feel like it's really well paced, and all throughout, like from like the first 5 minutes on through Eternals, I was like, this feels sluggish and long, and it feels that way from the start of watching it until the credits roll. It's just like, man, that movie felt every second of its like almost 3 hour runtime or whatever it was. Like
it was a long movie.
The two most common criticisms I've been seeing and don't disagree with for this movie, there's too many characters and too many of the characters aren't interesting.
And those are the same problem, sure. Ultimately, because like when you make a movie with 10 or 11 core people in it,
you can't develop them.
Right, there's only so much screen time for everybody. Like, so either you're gonna like technically have them in the movie and they're basically extras where you give like half of them nothing to do anyway, or you're gonna give everybody just enough of a chunk that still no single character gets enough to really rally around. And I think that's more of
like,
what they ended up doing.
It felt like they wanted what's her face,
Cersei.
It felt like they wanted her to be the main character, and they like just straight up dropped her at multiple parts during the movie to focus on like other people because they're juggling like eight balls in the air.
And they did do that intermittently, and it's noticeable every time. Like I said, I was fucking blown away when they get to like the culmination, like the big final action thing. And Camila Nanjiani's character, Kingo, he just leaves. He's like, I guess I'm abstaining, and I'm walking away, and I'm just not going to participate until, like, the actual, like, bro, like, it's fucking bizarre. It is straight up nuts.
Since he's probably the best character of that lot.
Yeah, and the, like, that's still...
He was definitely the most interesting of them, because everyone else is either, like, completely integrated into, like, being a human, or you're what's-his-face, who's just... or Icarus, who's just like, oh my god, I'm still this, or whatever, I've gotta live by this. And he's just, like, fucking living. He's just like, right. I'm all of my ancestors being movie stars at all right. times.
And I can't divorce, like, I agree, but I can't tell you how much of that is because of, like, how much is embodied in the character, yeah. like, and how much of it is just because I enjoy Camille yeah. Nanjiani's right. presence and stuff.
But, like, see, like, but he brought more life to his
right.
character.
Every time he was on screen, I was uh-huh.
everybody
and
else in that movie.
On the opposite
was
end of
the
spectrum,
driest, boringest
right,
version
I
of a
I
character.
I think a lot of those performances are, like, okay to mediocre. Mm. I think that what's his name? I think Icarus is. I don't know what that actor's name is, but I don't know if he should be allowed to be in Hollywood movies anymore. Like,
well, he threw himself into the sun, so
that,
you don't have to worry
that
about
that dude is he so does. Boring, and I don't know if he was directed to be that way. Like, I don't know if that was like, all right, act like a robot, because spoilers, you're a robot. But, like, it was such a flat, uninteresting, like when they, like, try to set up a love triangle around him, I'm like, why would anyone love this guy? He is so boring and so lame.
That whole triangle was boring. It worked.
Like, I just no thank you.
Also, there was never really a triangle. They didn't really expand on that or give reasons for it at
right,
all.
Right, yeah, there was no, like I said, I told Lorraine that too, that there was no real solid reasons for these characters to fall in love with each other and
He was Robb Stark, okay.
Yeah, right, he was in Game of Thrones.
They
I noticed
both
that.
Were. Both were love interests were brothers.
But and they also like upon like because the movie doesn't start with that in mind. Like, I wonder if that was added in like rewrites or reshoots or something. Because like the two characters that are together that have a relationship, like that are still hanging out, are the two characters that are theoretically in opposition because they love the same big dumb idiot. Mm. Which is like, I guess that's not impossible. You know, you can have friends and like the same dude or lady or whatever, but. It does feel strange. And like you said, that whole, like, they should have scrapped that shit, too. Like, they should have gotten rid of that whole love triangle completely. It is the first Marvel movie with a sex scene, which is, like,
right.
which I was, like, blown. Like, I had to think about it when I read that somewhere. I was like, you know, I guess that's true. But also, a
whatever.
Sex scene does not a romance make. Like, nope. Which the Eternals, man, did they prove that. Cause...
I mean, like, I assume the point of that whole thing wasn't to get them back together to make you root for them, because that's not how that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
why have it at all? And yeah. Also, like, maybe to make you feel bad when you kill himself. I don't know.
I was too busy laughing.
Sympathetic to his viewpoint, which has merits, but didn't get drawn on really in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Camille, Nanjiani, and Gringo, he had the most reaction to it.
Well, that's okay. That's the other thing. Cause, like, that's the part that makes me, like, super think that they just, like, hit a brick wall or somewhere and then just threw that shit in there. Cause that's the first indication. Like, I feel like you don't even necessarily, like, maybe just barely, you see that in how the character Sprite is the other one, right? Sprite is the one that's always a 13-year-old or whatever. You maybe just barely see that character interacting with Icarus in that way, but I feel like 95% of the start of that love triangle is Camille Nanjiani calls it out apropos of nothing.
Right.
He's like, oh, you love him, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, wait, what? Yeah. That's what we're doing now? which at the end of the day isn't even really that character's big thing, because they kind of like... Cause...
All right, then she wants to be a real boy. At
yeah.
the end.
Yeah, right. Which... I don't even know.
They did
man.
Set that up at least a little bit. They should have focused on that.
Yeah, like that had a plan. Like that had that like that seed in that really early scene in the bar where she's like pretending to be a grown woman or whatever, and then like the guy can't touch her because she's a hologram. Like that was something. Like that existed.
If he had instead of being like, oh my god, you won't love me because I'm always a child. If he had made some kind of promise, like, hey, like. If we let this happen, we could, like, I could get you out of this. Like, if he had, like, if he was, like,
maybe.
Leading her on with, like, a, hey, I could make you not have to do this anymore, and you could age, like, what if that? And then she follows him and, like, betrays everybody else. That would have made more sense.
What if I just stabbed my best friend?
You know what? Maybe we should. Maybe we just
don't forgive me in 3 minutes and then we'll never be brought up again.
Might as well.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, again, there's just the size of the cast period, which is like, there's the, you know, they have the bad Superman, who is like lamer than Superman. In like both ways. He's lamer because he's actually has like less charisma than Superman. And also because like he has like the same shitty Superman arc that Zack Snyder wanted to do, but somehow even worse. Like, oh, what if Superman were the bad guy? And then also he kills himself.
I still, like, I kind of can't believe that was real. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing when I was watching it, of him just literally flying.
I would have loved to be, that's one of those cases where I would have loved to be in, like, a fuller, because there were, like, 15 people, maybe, at most, in the theater, I think we watched it, and there were very few people in that screening. I would have loved to have been in, like, a nearly packed house to hear how many people cracked up in, like, uproarious laughter when he just flies into the sun and dies.
We're doing this now, and we're just snickering.
Yeah, but like whatever,
had to get rid of that character, right?
Yeah, they
the only way to do it.
Directly in the sun.
Yeah, that was very strange. And that's another thing. This is the conversation I had with Lorraine. We were driving back from it. Is like, because I don't know jack fucking shit about the Eternals.
I don't
like the source material. I couldn't tell you the first thing about any of them. Like what? How many of them are in whatever books or whatever? I don't know nothing. But I do think that, like, whatever the core cast of Eternals is, that they should have consolidated characters down to the same person or just cut people entirely. Yeah. And if you want to bring more of them in, just, like, introduce them later. Like, doing this many people in one movie was too much. Yes. It was just not the right decision. And it's a really... This is a really complicated path to go down because there are going to be people who, like, have that opinion for the wrong reason. Because this is one more, it's like...
Diversity
it's
wins!
Like, right, it's the stupid Captain Marvel thing where, like people are just going to be angry because there's a woman, and in this case, people are just going to be angry because there are diverse people in it. And I do think it was wrong to have the cast this broadly, but not because it's diverse. Although, like, peeling that onion back a layer or two, like, I do... You have to assume that was, like, the shitty, lame Disney executive, like, pitch, right? They were like, well, there are so many Eternals... That means we can have one of every type of person in this movie. And that's not like... That's
they had
not
a gay kiss, Dustin. Diversity wins.
But that's not what like if you're a moron...
Yes.
Or if you're a disingenuous asshole, like
yes.
If you're just a shitty
go
executive,
on.
Like that's what diversity means in movies.
No, yeah, that's absolutely what it means
what diversity actually means in movies is just like across the span of film, you know, having representation at least roughly in line with like your presence in the populace, right?
Yeah.
Like if there's, you know, if black people make up, you know, roughly 20% of the population of, you know, America or whatever, then you would hope that at least roughly speaking, you know, they get a similar distribution to that in major films and not like close to zero or whatever the fuck it actually is. But it doesn't mean like a season of fucking Degrassi or whatever, like every single type of person has to be in every piece of content. but if you're a dummy, then that's what that means.
I am a dummy.
Like if you're a cynical jerk who just wants to say this movie's got something for everyone because it has a person like you in it, like that's just a different.
Although it is a trash fire, so it does adequately represent the human experience. So maybe there is more truth to Eternals than we want.
I don't know.
The tallest, whitest male was the worst of them all.
Yay!
And that, like, that part, I started to wonder, I was like, is this on purpose? Like, because I'm fine with it if it is. Like, that's just funny. If you, like, directed him to be the worst person in this movie, just to, like, undercut, to show that Superman is even worse. Like, that is, like, I don't know if it's a good idea,
diversity
but it's a funny
win.
Idea.
Diversity wins!
But yeah, that's just, like, you know, that's using people's theoretically good intentions against them to make a shittier film. It's like, look, we've got one of everybody. Come and see our thing.
The Infinity Stones of the human experience.
And yeah, I don't think it would have mattered even necessarily, like I said, which characters you cut. Just consolidate the cast down somewhat just so everybody gets a little more to do and like a little more of an arc. But it's just too much, man. Too many people pulling in too many directions. And like some of them, like I forget that the mind control guy was even in it.
Well, yeah,
until like
doing anything,
right? Because he doesn't do anything.
Druid, whatever the hell.
Druid, right.
What's Flash Lady? What was her name?
No.
Because she's out of it for a long time, too. She doesn't show up in the core timeline until, like, the last 20 or 30% of the movie, right?
She was just right at the end.
Yeah, because she's just in the flashbacks. And then right, her the thing she was doing with her time on Earth was being alone in a basement, basically. For thousands of years. Like, that's rough, man.
She seemed to be having a good time.
Yeah, I guess. And then again, like I said, you had two strong guys. Angelina Jolie was there for, like, look, whatever they paid her for that role, it was too much. Because she barely had, she had, like, 10 lines, maybe? Like, and again, that's, like, you know, the fact that they just have so many people in this fucking movie that what the fuck are you going to do? But,
the brightest and
like,
whitest
you should just
of
cast somebody less big in Hollywood and pay less for them if that's all this character is going to do in this film.
At least
they didn't force her down the face of the entire movie. That would have been a lot worse.
Sure. And I'm a little surprised she didn't bite it, too, just for, like,
just gonna say,
budgetary reasons. Because she's still alive. Yeah. Like, she's, like, in it at the end. Like, Selma Hayek they killed off for probably partially that reason. But, like, well, she's one of the other really big names. We don't want to, like, cut her two checks. Oh. I don't know, man.
They killed Gilgamesh.
They killed Gilgamesh. And again, like,
three best Eternals.
He could have stood to be, you know, broadened up a bit if he was still going to be in the movie at all, but at least his gimmick was fun. Like, his like, tossed off, like, oh, I like food. Like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I enjoyed when he was on screen.
2 minutes to give this character any amount of backstory, I guess you could have done worse than that.
He liked food and was kind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like that's just goals right there. Like, I don't know what more you want.
You need a fun nickname. Gil. Old Gil.
Mm-hmm. The best pie-related scene in a Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What did his Bib say? It was funny. It was a good pun.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember, but it was
Gilgamesh, I think it was, or something like that. It was something about, like, it was something along those lines. But yeah, that pie, though. Rip the pie. Remember the Fallen.
But that said, if there was any character I remember the least, it was probably Mind Control Guy, and then maybe second Speed Girl, because, again, she just was so infrequently in it, but like, we had picked up most of the other cast.
Those are the two I would cut straight up. Don't happen in this movie.
That would be the easiest to cut because in this version of the screenplay that they created, they just had the least total screen time, so it would, you know, it would have been simplest to remove them. But like with the Mind Control guy, like at least the thing with him is like I feel like the seed of a better version of the script.
Is in the
conflict that they do try to have him start up within the group of like, well, why don't we just be gods and rule with an iron fist? Like, I feel
What if he teamed up with Sun Boy and was like, well, what if we just stop stuff from happening now and let what's his face come out of the earth? Or, like, use it to, like, stop the other people from stopping them and then get Sprite on their side. Like, just have it be an infighting in their group. Get rid of the deviants. Make them actually dead. Make the threat themselves.
That was one of my other first thoughts, too, Lorraine. I was like, why are the deviants in this movie? That shit should have been cut in, like, the second draft. Like,
they needed the deviants to push the plot along until the end when they don't... They didn't matter anymore, and they didn't know what to do with them.
Well, so here's the thing. Did they need them to push the plot along, or did they need them to have
action
sequences before the end of the movie?
and that.
Because those are two
that.
Different problems
See,
that
telling,
you want to solve.
I'm telling you. You can set it up with that, with the Deviants, whatever. Have that, like, because the opening, their introduction in the movie wasn't that bad. Like, when you see, fucking Mesopotamia or whatever the fuck it was.
And that one turns into a man and it's like so upsetting and weird.
It was really weird. I very much disliked that thing.
I liked it a lot and I wish that it had gotten more screen time.
I wish it mattered.
No,
like, you could tell some poor graphic design artist put a lot of work into that character design, but it meant literally nothing.
Yeah, he like showed up at the end sequence for some reason and like lost a mini boss fight to Angelina Jolie in that cave. She beat that giant ogre and then they all got to go to like the end of the Nightfall.
I would have loved to have seen, you know, the evolution of that character just getting stronger and realizing the role it played in all of this.
Because Because it had an interesting take.
Well, and there
like,
are, right.
That feels like a separate movie from this,
the
though.
Arc of the Deviants is basically the same arc as the Eternals, yeah. Right? It's like, oh, we're just weird pawns for these creatures way above us.
When he showed up, I wanted him to just start fighting Icarus with them. He's like, oh, you guys are doing this? Okay, I'm in. Let's go. And then he stops the Eternal with
them. I think
that
would have
made a little
more
with
sense
and then
if you're
like,
still going to do that.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we're bros now. Like, Armistice. Okay. Everybody goes home, and we have a Street Fighter stage now. That's the only thing I could think of when I saw that thing.
A good Street Fighter stage.
Like, this is a Marvel versus Capcom stage. Uh-huh. Like, you're just on this guy. It's fine.
Right.
What was his name? The Eternal?
Which one?
Tiamat.
I was like, I know it's some.
Oh, the Celestial. Names.
Whatever. Yeah, who fucking cares?
Look, there's a lot of stupid names. Learning.
I don't care.
But the thing is that I think they kind of underexplore the like.
They underexplored a lot.
Well, we're gods. What we could do anything. What do we want to do? And simultaneously, they way underexplore their like motivations for doing the things they do. Or like.
That's why I liked how Kingu did it. I loved how.
Well, they're like
we love
people.
It's cool.
And like I don't know, we just do. Like I just look. It's been thousands of years, but for whatever reason, I found this one man that I really love, and I found this one other man and this child that I really love. But like they don't like get into. They don't get into really how. They came into these relationships. They don't get into the implications of the, like, well, you guys still are just, like, immortal beings. So, you know, in, like, an afternoon's worth of time for you, all these, your grandkids are going to be dead. So, like, that's weird. Like you know, explore some of that
thing,
shit.
When I was thinking about it, like, the next day, is like, these characters are all 7,000-8,000 years old or whatever, and they all act like they just hit 20.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they're changing their minds constantly about everything.
Yeah, it's weird. And then like that, and what's his name? The one with the gay relationship, fan something.
Faustus.
His introduction is like I think the weirdest for me. It was like the weirdest, sloppiest, like going from saying one thing and then doing the other within the course of like two scenes immediately after each other because they're saying, well, we need to get him involved.
And then
they're like, well, he gave up on humanity a long time ago.
And then
they go to the site of one of the nuclear bombs that was dropped on Japan. I forget which one. I
believe it was Hiroshima.
Which is like, okay, that's a lot to put in a Marvel movie. Like, that's just a lot to go into.
It was a really bad scene.
Right. Like, I don't even know, like, because Captain America is so weird. Where, like, the Nazis are barely mentioned, but Hydra's this big thing. Like, I don't even know if I would have told you that Hiroshima and Nagasaki happened in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's not
point.
A given.
Now it is.
But right now, it is both confirmed and like we're dabbling into like a true tragedy that is like in living memory of some people technically still alive on this earth. And it is used as just like here's a quick and dirty explanation why he gave up on people. And then in the very next scene, they just undercut it completely with no fucks given and no explanation. Yeah. No, he does actually give a fuck about people. I guess maybe not like. Like the royal we. Like, maybe he doesn't like humanity. He just likes these two humans. But, like...
I mean, I think that's where they were driving with that.
But they don't really say that either. They just, he's just got a happy family. And, like, that's why he doesn't want to come with us. It's not because he's jaded about humanity. It's because he's settled down. Which is the opposite of what you said, like, 5 minutes ago. It's literally the opposite thing you told us.
That was such a, like, loop-de-loop of everything...
Those are the things that really break the movie for me. That like, I don't know if you guys fucked this up in editing or if like one like as you iterated on the screenplay, you just forgot to fix shit. Because they do a similar. There's a similar thing that makes like no sense. The first time they meet a deviant, and it's Sprite and Cersei and Jon Snow.
That's fine. Kit.
And Jon Snow.
Kit Harington, I believe is his
name. Yeah, Kit Harington. Or what? Whatever his name is in the movie.
Who gives a shit?
The Black Knight, you mean?
And they see the thing, and I think his character is the one who says, a deviant, I thought you killed them all. And then they run from the fucking thing, and then they fight it to death with them and bad Superman.
But then after
that scene, he's like, wait, you're a what? And that was a what? Like, they just, like that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, they just forgot that they put that information in the previous scene and just did it again.
I think their only, like, real explanation for that was, like, because he says that, and she's just like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, Sprite told me. And she's like,
yeah.
That's a thing, I guess. Just, ugh.
And that's another thing where, like, do that, just, like, you could have put that in the scene before that where they're, like, having to talk about moving in together. Like, subvert that a tiny bit, maybe, where it doesn't have to be, like, in that scene, say that he already knows that she's not a human. Like, mm-hmm. that she doesn't want to live with you just because she, like, isn't that fond of you. She doesn't want to live with you because there are weird complications because she's, like, a god. Like, just do that there, mm-hmm. like, and save everybody some fucking time. But, like, that, to me, like, little stuff like that cropped up enough in that movie that, like, and again, the big exposition dump of when she gets the orb,
mm-hmm.
and then ass to cross, ass land, the big celestial, the main man,
he just
gives her, like, a combination exposition dump, like, Bond villain lecture for, like, five fucking minutes, just like, all right, the things that are about to happen in this movie, I'm gonna explain every single thing to you in linear order with my words,
right now,
and some supporting evidence. But, like none of this is going to roll out organically or in, like, a natural, like, way over time. It's just, I'm just going to tell you every single thing that's about to happen for the next 2 hours. And it just feels so sloppy and so clumsy and just so, like, well, I guess this is where we put this because we couldn't figure out a better way to do it. Like, that scene felt really weird to me. It's like a step above the text on screen, but it's a similar vein of just, like, this is just an exposition jump.
Man, exposition now dump. I'm just, There's, like... The more we've been talking about it, the more I'm, like, script doctoring all of this. It's like, what if she started to, like, get kind of corrupted by the orb when she got it and, like, was getting, like, visions of, like, these other planets or, like, the factory that stores all the copies of them.
Sure.
And all this other stuff of, like, hey, and, like, she sees Tiamat and it's like, he's in there. Yeah. He's coming
out. And at the end of the day, the thing
And
with-
then confronted him idea. And he'd be like, yeah, all this is fucking happening.
Right. Like, and the thing, at the end of the day, the thing about all of this is, like, the only reason that character does all that to her is because the movie needs to progress, mm-hmm. and they couldn't figure out a better way to do it.
Nope.
Because none of that information is need to know for her then, because it wasn't before that.
Right, he could just sit back and let it happen.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. If the thing you want to do is let the Celestial be born, just twiddle your thumbs and it'll come out of the earth and kill everybody or whatever. Like, Lorraine, the pitch you made makes 10,000 times more sense than the thing that they put in there. It's just like, yeah. So the stuff like that is just like, I just don't know how they ended up making the thing they made in that way.
Avalon's a good parent. He needs to be honest with his children.
And those guys are all...
make their own decisions.
Right, I was like, oh, Exos are in this movie. That's weird.
That's right.
Cersei 3.
Right, Cersei 3. Yeah, you got it. Well, she never did get the Angelina Jolie never got reset, did she?
Nope.
Like, everybody else has got their problem solved. Like, I guess she kind of, like, overcame it with confidence in the cave or whatever.
She Luke Skywalker that shit.
So she's still, like, she's the mental illness one. Like everybody's got to be a something, and she's the one who's struggling with, like, she's going to get Ambien or something. And
like, is that one of the new Infinity Stones? The one that just mellows you out.
Go to her therapist and get a prescription.
Is it the same therapist that the Winter Soldier goes to?
Right. That'd be funny.
You're just in there together and they're just like, sup.
She's out in space hanging out with Star Fox and Pip.
I told Dustin this also on the way home. The only reason I knew who Star Fox was at all is because he pops up when I Google, like, trying to find any kind of stuff for Star Fox on, like, eBay. I'm looking. You just gotta look sometimes. Sometimes I need serotonin, and I look up Star Fox collectibles, and then there's this fucker on a comic book, and I know he's not Star Fox. He's not even a fox. Like, what the fuck? False advertising. Get that twink out of here.
Pulling back to, like, more stuff that is both with the Celestials and things that don't, like, that just don't make any, like, sense.
Yay!
Like, again, this is within the context of the movie, like, by the time they get to, like, the big ending conflict, mm-hmm. and, like, in the immediate aftermath of it, up until either right before they go to black for the first time, or until the first post-credits thing, I forget which.
Who knows?
Like, I still wasn't clear what they had accomplished. Because, like, all leading up to the whole movie, after she, like, learns what the stakes are, they're like, well, we don't want to kill it, but we definitely don't want it to kill all people. And that's,
I think,
like,
they killed it.
And that's, like, right, and that's, like, they just keep batting that back and forth. They're like, killing it is not an option, but neither is killing humanity. And then by the time that they resolve it and they say it out loud, she's like, oh, we killed it. Like, what? Why did you even... What?
Well, no, I think the only thing I can offer you in this regard is because, yeah, they couldn't get the guy, like, they tried to do the fucking super hyperlink or whatever with the guy, and then Icarus is just like, lol, I fucking killed him, and then he didn't.
All right, Lorraine.
But, and then they're just like, she's like, oh, I'm gonna turn him into marble or something. I still don't even know what she did.
Yeah, and she's then, turned it into something. Then turned it from being into Celestial to being something else.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine, do you want to hear my like my elevator pitch for how to change the script to better tie it into the MCU and make it make like 10% more sense?
Oh God, we're tying it in.
Which
now.
Like this would be hard to convey visually. Like I feel like this would still be clumsy. But like
you're saying this is a like a fourth dimensional. Like this is a smell medium. Is that what you're getting?
This is like a duct tape fix, not like a proper like if you just had the thing like you had it glow in magical light or some shit, and then just like cease to be, And they're like, and then one of the other Eternals comes up and they're like, what did you do to it? And she's like, I sent it somewhere else. And then like they say we're different times or whatever, like 500 BCE or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just says, you know, Earth 56782. And it just emerges out of that Earth in another universe. And then it's directly part of the multiverse narrative that they may or may not be doing at this point.
That's hilarious and terrible.
Which, like, I agree. But I still think it's better than the thing they did, just because it at least, like, has some, like, tie-in to things that they may or may not be trying to attempt to, like, tie together. But, like, yeah, that just felt so weird to me for them to, like, navel gaze for so much of the movie about trying to have it both ways and then just, like, throwing up their hands and just killing the fucking thing. And then the very end, like, when they get to the post-credits thing where what's-his-name... The other god.
Arceus. Yeah, Arceus. Yep. Just call him that.
Where his, like, face is on the horizon of planet Earth. And he sucks them all up, the remaining Eternals, up into space. And he's like, you made a no-no. You did a bad, bad thing. And I might punish you or Earth maybe someday. But we're going to take a time out. And I'm going to go check the tape. We're gonna see if you like landed on the foul line or not, and and if you did, so help me, I'm gonna come back here and destroy this planet, but not now. Let's go. Like, what?
He's just doing his due diligence. No, see, he's acting his age. He's not acting.
I guess if you're
evaluate the evidence,
like if they're like immortal and he's like immortal times infinity, so like I guess you've got all the time in the world to come back and destroy Earth at your leisure. You know, I could accept that, I suppose, in like another in a very stupid way.
That way, when he comes back, he can fight Galactus, Silver Surfer, and the Fantastic Four.
But, and I, like at first, I was
I wanted
like,
to make some kind of Silver Surfer joke when that guy was flying into space, and I was like, oh, he's just going back to be his like his whatever, and like, oh no, there's the sun. Oh, bye.
He found it.
Oh no, he's got AirPods in.
Icarus, your wings. No.
At first, I thought those guys were even like. At the very beginning, I was like, are they supposed to kind of be Galactus? Because their heads are sort of shaped like his stupid hat or whatever, but... Like,
isn't he a Celestial?
I don't know.
Not really.
I don't know. Okay. I don't really know what's up. He's a big...
I mean, there
big
you,
man.
That guy's a big man.
He's not. I don't think he's that big. Arceus I think that man was bigger big. Than Galactus.
Okay.
Seemed really big.
So Celestials are just kind of, as they were said, you know, creator gods or whatever. And
is that what Nowhere is?
Yeah.
The leftovers of a Celestial.
Yeah, I know it's like not alive.
Yeah. Like it's the skull or whatever.
No
I guess.
Shit.
As the last survivor of a different universe.
Okay.
Right.
The preceding universe.
So did a different Celestial come out of that universe and then start the new one?
Man, I don't know. But that's some
don't worry,
deep science.
Don't worry about it.
The Big Bang created the Celestial.
Oh.
And collected just kind of crawled through it.
Are
I'm trying to think
planets
of other things
eggs?
That were... No. Well, some of them. They said they only seed some worlds with like a select chosen number of planets are seeded to be like celestial growth pods.
Okay.
Because this is a comic book movie,
right? Yeah, that part. Look, that's just gonna be stupid. So you just have to be okay with that.
I mean, I like the idea that all planets are eggs better. I think that's funnier.
be more fair, like Thanos style. It's like, look, equal opportunity.
Then, no, they just have everything's an egg. And they're like, okay, we're going to start making sentient life on here and help it advance. And like, let's just keep going.
We don't need that many Celestials. Just need a couple.
Well, if we just keep killing them, then you're going to need more.
I was just trying to think of other stuff that seemed really silly. The like the way that they set up, what's his name's heel turn, Icarus. Like the fact that they had the like weird red herring and plausible deniability of like, oh, she was killed by a deviant. and then the way that they looped back around to that was like,
I mean, like she was.
He
but
took
also...
her, he abducted her and took her to where deviants are, and then just like shoved her in a hole, and then she picked up Felwinter's lie for like 2 minutes, and then she got eaten or whatever. Like that scene was very silly and
But global warming, Dustin.
And also, right, they didn't do that. Like that made me wonder what like was that a rewrite that like, oh, we don't want to take a stance on global warming, so instead it's not global warming, it's the Celestial. they said that. They were like, the Celestial Awakening has heated the planet which global warming, at least that would have been something. Like it would have been about something. Like, all right.
Dustin, this movie
isn't about
anything. At least
we all agree that global warming is real.
Just let Tiamat hatch. Like, come on, guys. Like, just bring it on.
Let it go.
If people will believe QAnon, then, like, I can start a message board post that's like, oh, Eternals is real. It's a mm-hmm. This is a documentary. The Earth is warming because the Celestial's coming.
A crazy week in that actual universe, even by their standards.
Right.
A giant head and a hand.
A giant head emerged from the sea. And then
another one to... arrived from the sky, screamed a lot a while, and kidnapped some people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was like a...
if I live in that universe, I'm starting, you know, the Church of the
right, yeah, that's just that Rick and Morty episode with the giant heads. Like, it's it's just that, but in the Marvel universe now.
That's the Disney Plus show I want to see.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know, man. It just seemed like a... Oh, and here, you guys, this was one of the other things. You can refresh my memory if this was the case, too, but like...
Both of you assume I have a memory.
They have that other dust up before the one deviant becomes human in the little village or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And she turns the one into a tree, which is a thing she can't do, usually, except this time she can. Mm-hmm. Was there a reason for that? Other than just she couldn't before and then she could?
No.
That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, like I feel like they didn't address it. They were just like,
the
well,
only thing that I put together from that was, oh, it's because she has the orb. I just assumed that like that gave her more power.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because what's her face, Ajax or whatever, the leader, only had like healing abilities. So maybe like it had gotten buffed from that, like she could heal more.
But the more important thing that I'm getting at is, to your recollection,
no,
they don't state that in the film.
Well, no, because they state. Offhand, she's like, yeah, I can't do living... When they have that whole really
They say that. They say that she can't transmute, like, flesh.
Uh-huh. Living things.
And then they say that she did do it, but they don't go as far as to say how or why.
Nope.
Well, all right, I'm comfortable just saying, okay, she's got the orb now.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
That was the only thing that...
And then later, you know, she's able to do it to the thing, but they, like, do technically try to... They try to explain that away, where it's like all the Eternals linked up into a network, and I guess they have more power when they touch the thing.
They
and the second
the,
they touch
they
the
broke
thing.
The orb and used it on their
jewelry.
Right. So
I didn't have the orb
fed into my
because
they took the orb out of her.
Okay,
they all had
that.
The jewelry on to do the link, and then
And then they couldn't fight. That was also silly in like a more traditional like Marvel movie dumb thing of like they were all like, we can't fight Superman, he's too powerful. And what's his name subdues him single-handedly for like 90% of that fight. He's just like, no, I've just got technology.
Sit in the corner.
He's gonna put Telesto on you or whatever. Like, I'm gonna stick you with anarchy and you're gonna sit here for the next 2 minutes.
You're gonna like it. Yes.
And here's one of the other things that like this isn't the movie's fault, but I think the marketing team really failed them. Like, I actually thought, like, most of their attempts at, like, overt jokes and humor felt pretty flat. I don't think a lot of it worked. The one that I thought was actually pretty good, at least one of the ones I thought was actually pretty good, was the one that was in the trailer with the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much worse in the trailer than in the movie. Because they had the punchline in the trailer, but not the setup. Because the setup in the movie, like, watching it linearly in the film, is that bad Superman shoots lasers at like a window or something, mm-hmm. and they bounce off, showing right. that he has super technology in his house.
Yeah.
And then he hits the table and it's just a table. It's like, that's the whole joke. Like, you need mm-hmm. the one part to make it a complete joke. And in the trailer, it's just like, oh, I guess it's funny that he breaks shit. like they took the best joke of the movie and made it a much worse joke for mm-hmm. advertising purposes. I just thought that was bizarre. I was like, what are you guys doing? Come on.
No, but he punched the table. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Because a lot of those tossed off things are just like you just felt at the wrong moment, I think, a lot of the mm-hmm. time. I'm just like I don't know. There's so many heady things going on in this movie that like sprinkled in the Marvel pizzazz, the jokey mm-hmm. jokes just felt like a heavy lift anyway. There's just like
Yeah, they kind of dropped it on that one.
Yeah. It just didn't feel very organic for the most part.
I mean, they're machines, they're already inorganic.
Hey, they're human programming. Not quite up to snuff.
Something like that.
Skipped there's a few syntax errors in there, and they're mm-hmm. just skipping lines.
And this doesn't really matter for this movie, but I guess for the future it probably will. Is like in the dream sequence, like psychic vision thing that Cersei gets shown, it looks like that all the Eternals are the same, right? Like it looks like there's just thousands of them, of like the core cast of Eternals that we've seen.
I kind of assumed that, I mean, I this is all my speculation after the fact. Do each Celestial have their own Eternals? Is that a thing?
Well, that my other question, just like, again, the movie doesn't need, this isn't even
a
strike at it, it's just weird.
Arceus's children?
But then like, Star Fox is an Eternal who is not one of them.
Allegedly.
So are there just also way more different Eternals? Like, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Every Celestial makes their own Eternal.
I was right!
Whatever.
Whatever is right. It doesn't actually matter at all. It's just another thing.
Is Thanos a robot?
Well, yeah. Like,
is he an Eternal?
And my thing, when I told Lorraine that, I was like, well, they said he was Thanos' brother because the people who are in charge of these decisions are jerks and idiots. And they're like, the word Thanos will get people excited, so we need to say the word Thanos. But when Lorraine asked me that, I was like, well, he's probably just his brother, like Gamora was his daughter, right? Like, that was my best guess, that like he's like his adopted brother.
They're actually brothers in the comics, but in the comics they're, you know, organic beings and not robots.
Not weird robots made by Celestials, okay.
Right.
I mean, maybe other Celestials make their Eternals different?
Whatever.
I mean,
don't worry about it.
They're made, but they're still organic.
Okay.
Right, they do bleed. Yeah, like they have flesh. Like they appear to take wounds like human beings do. Like they're made of flesh and blood.
Delightful.
Not they don't like motor oil. Like,
do we have more Thanoses then? Is there like a?
Or could we have more Thanoses?
Is there like some kind of like hangar somewhere, like fucking underbelly Leviathan, where there's just like thousands? Of
right, his weird like ship with a giant throne on it has thousands of Thanoses in the basement. That'd be pretty good. They did it with Star Wars. They can do it with Marvel, Lorraine.
Yay!
Don't tempt them.
I want all my properties to be identical.
I'm sure they'll explain that in a line, whatever the Eternal suit comes out.
Yeah. Star Fox went and blew up all.
Thanos was adopted at a young age or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, our Eternals are different than yours.
Any of that.
Whatever it is. No, right, not that important.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter other than, like I said, it was just a really cheap name drop thing to like you really have no reason to get excited about this because you know we're not really gonna pay it off, but we're gonna try to get you excited about it anyway. So here's a word you understand.
That's the only thing interesting about that character in the actual comics. He's Thanos.
But now he's also Harry Styles.
That's right. Now he's a very handsome young man with a beautiful singing voice. So. Do you think he'll get a song? Okay. Will it be like Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones? Will he get to like?
God,
will he have a musical number?
I hope so, because that would be like one of the worst things they could do.
He could sing at like the cantina. He'll like cross over in Guardians 3, and he'll be like singing in their version, like in their extremely quippy, sarcastic version of the Star Wars cantina. He'll just be performing on stage.
Maybe
anything can happen.
Great.
But yeah, that's mostly it. I don't think I had any other strong feelings in the Eternals other than it's a very strange movie that seems like it's kind of a mess.
Kind of.
It was a mess. I liked it. It was weird. not always made sense.
Kingo is a terrible name. That was the other thing I told Lorraine. Like, I don't care what stupid thing Jack Kirby came up with or whoever the fuck it was at Marvel. Like, sometimes they did dumb shit. It's fine to fix it in post. Like, you can just name him something less stupid than Kingo. That's it. That's my thesis statement on Eternals is that Kingo should be named something better.
It should have been in more of that movie.
And should have been in more. They should have been in the final conflict because what the fuck?
Even ignoring that, he's been there the whole time because he's the best.
Oh, what a weird thing.
Correct.
But yeah, I think that'll do.
7 out of 10
for that. You guys have any other
watch
thoughts?
It if you like weird stuff.
Well, I would still watch.
Watch if you like weird, not good stuff.
Watch Dune first if you're gonna watch it. Again, I didn't love Dune, but I would rather watch Dune than this. So if you're gonna watch one long, heady sci-fi thing,
can I just Kingu out of both of them and just not watch either again? I agree with you, but I don't want to get involved.
To close this out, are you guys excited for Spider-Man? Are you like,
hell yeah.
When is that?
I was talking about this with Colin Wade earlier. I'm going to love it, and it's either going to be great or a total disaster, and I can't lose.
When is it?
December.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh, when is it?
Yeah, this was the year of all Marvel movies.
I know,
because they
like,
had to switch
Christ.
Them all together because COVID.
Yeah, and the Sony schedule works a little differently than the Marvel
schedule. I guess.
Technically.
I'm surprised that trailer wasn't in front of the movie. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
There's
apparently a new one coming out.
Oh.
Yeah, that they didn't drop with all that other Disney nonsense.
Again, Sony.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true, right.
We gotta see whatever the fuck that fucking thing was before the...
Yeah, right, I don't actually know what the contract specifics are, but like, bearing whatever
Vampire
language they have
Man.
For their like shared Spider-Man deal, Sony can technically put that thing out whenever they want, like, unless there's other right. very specific language that says they can't. Mm-hmm. Like, But yeah, it's coming out in December.
I mean, I'm sure that like when they finalize the scripts and stuff for all this, it's like, okay, now you have to put this out in this timeline just that it fits with these other movies. But
mm-hmm.
But yeah, like that movie's gonna be something else.
Delightful.
And again, I'm fully prepared to be extremely disappointed by it personally. December 17th,
I mean,
1 week before Christmas.
How many Spider-Men need to be in that movie before you like it? 4? 5?
Well, that's the thing is, everyone they add, I think I'm going to like it a little less. Because this was my problem. All right, we'll actually close this conversation out. I'll do the what if rant. and then we'll end this conversation. The thing that really, like, what if fell apart for me in, like, two major ways over the course of, like, two episodes. Because, like, the first couple are, like, whatever. It's, like, fine and a little boring, but fine. By the time they get to the Doctor Strange one, which I think was like 3 or 4 episodes in, like that's what I would have wanted that show to be, but just like a little bit better at it. Because like that episode was fine. It just felt like a sort of dull episode of the Twilight Zone. But like I liked what they were going for. Like what I wanted them to do with that show was do isolated stories about these characters where you can take them to places and do things with them that they can't do in the main canon. Like, that's all I wanted out of that series. Like, I wanted an anthology thing where you just give us stories like that. And maybe some of them are good, and maybe some of them suck, but at least you're trying something different. And then in the episode after that, the zombies one, like, that really fell apart for me because it was the exact opposite of the Doctor Strange one in that, like, the things that mattered in the Doctor Strange episode mattered for his universe. Like, mm-hmm. the consequences to him up to that point were real for that Doctor Strange. And the zombies one was just a total fucking fan favorite nonsense, like fan service garbage. Like,
yeah,
it's just funny that the characters die when they get bitten by zombies. And like, I'm not here for that. Like, I don't need to just like giggle because Marvel characters are on screen. Like, if you're going to put the zombies in the thing, like make it matter. Like do it for real. Don't like have Peter Parker snicker when, you know, Happy Hogan gets eaten by zombies or whatever. That's dumb. And it was just, like, too much of that shit for me. So I was like, oh, well, all right, all bets are off. Just, like, none of these individual narratives are going to have stakes anymore, I guess.
You'll have to check out Marvel Zombies coming next year.
Right. But then by the end of it, they also undercut the thing that I liked, like, about that Doctor Strange episode, where I was like, oh, this is the thing I want to dial into. And by the end of that series, they, like, even undid that, basically, where, like, oh, the consequences of that whole thing, and, like, the fact that he was, like, all that's erased, just because the only thing we're gonna do with this is do the same thing we did with Endgame, but, like, way stupider and way worse. Like, we're just gonna assemble a super team of, like, characters who you know because, like, you know what their faces look like, because you are familiar with the MCU as a viewer, but not, like, characters you know in a way that you have grown to know and understand them as they grew over time naturally, like they did in the real progression of the actual MCU. We are literally just, like, plucking out versions of people, like action figures out of a toy box, and just smushing them together, like, for no emotional or intellectual payoff, and then it's over.
Oh?
And, like, those two things combined, I was just like, oh, you ruined this two ways for me. It's like... I just could not get down with it by the time, like, Galactus was becoming a Super Saiyan Blue Super Saiyan or whatever. I was like, fuck this. This is stupid. I'm done.
I mean, that was the appeal. Like you said, it's just action figures being thrown together. And that's all it ever was.
I guess that I'm the only person, because that, like, that show is somewhat well-regarded. Like, people seem to like it. I guess that I'm the only person who didn't want that, apparently, on the internet. But yeah, I just thought it was like, I can play Smash Brothers, you guys. Like, I can, like, this show should just be a trailer for Marvel vs. Capcom 6. Like that's the appropriate place to put this, because then I can have fun smashing the action figures together myself. I can actually get some satisfaction out of it. I can make Iron Man.
Don't move your brain cells until you like it, okay?
Kill the Green Goblin or whatever. So needless to say,
the last scene wasn't, you know, cut to a live-action scene somewhere, and Peggy Carter as Captain Britain Woman emerges into the present MCU universe.
Sure. Well, in that scene, too, like, actually, that last Stinger thing was, like, I, again, took it as just one more, like, oh, you guys are not remotely interested in what I wish this show could be. Because the best thing about that is still that, like, look, if you're gonna have a different person be Captain America, they can do different shit. but now it's just, she just has the same arc as Steve Rogers, except she's a lady and he's a dude, like, right down to the, like, oh, the person from my past is coming back in an opportune time, which makes even less sense for her, because, like, why did Hydra or whoever the fuck it is keep Steve Rogers' limp, shitty body alive in an Iron Man suit? Like, at least, like, like, the Winter Soldier has a reason to exist by the time Captain America encounters him, and Steve Rogers is still alive in Peggy Carter's timeline because it's the same thing that happened to Steve Rogers. Like, it's just the dumbest, most pointless, stupid shit. So angry.
Not worth it.
But that's my fear.
It's a cartoon.
That's my fear with Spider-Man, is, like, that movie, the trailer that they put out, it looks like that's just exactly what that movie is. Like MJ and Ned, it looks like those, my assumptions, which may or may not be true, are, like, that the cast of that movie is just gonna be, like, gone. Like, the people that we've been playing with in the first two, we don't give a fuck about any of that shit, because this whole movie is just gonna be Peter Parker bouncing through, like, 8 different timelines, and he's gonna fight Dr. Octopus, and he's gonna see both of the other Spider-Men, and he's gonna see Green Goblin, and then he's gonna come back and the movie will end. And I am not interested. So if that's what happens in that movie, I'm sure plenty of people will love it, and I will sit there grumpily in my seat being like,
can't you just enjoy a spectacle?
I just need more than that. I just do. And like I said, that's the thing that, like, I just hope they're not squandering all their TV stuff with shit like this. That's my sincere hope. Because they really dodged that bullet with all of the TV, the live action series so far. Like, each of them is about something. Like, and they're that too. Like, Loki is a spectacle, but it's also, like, a story about him growing and, like, to some extent, redemption. Like, it's about something, and also it is a big, garish, like, crazy looking thing. You can do both, and that's just, look, that's what I want, alright? I demand that you try.
I'm sure Peter Parker will learn his lesson about accepting reality for what it is.
Right, yeah. Like, that has got to be it, right? The end of that movie absolutely has to be, like, an after-school special of, like, gee, Doctor Strange, I really did learn a valuable lesson about responsibility. Like, that's 100% the end of that movie, right?
Assume. I'm sure, like, there's going to be some element of it. Oh, Venom's still here. Now he's my bad guy.
Bad guy.
He'll like come back. He'll come back and he'll think he's still in, like, an alternate universe. because he hasn't met Venom yet. He's like, no, this is... And then MJ will walk around the corner, and then Venom will attack him. He's like, no, Peter, this is real. Like, this is the real reality. You have to deal with me. Yeah, we'll see. I don't even
know who you are.
My hopes are not high.
It's going to be so weird. That's what I like about all these movies, when they get weird. Like, show me something I've never seen before, whether it's a giant monster appearing from the sky and sucking people up and being birthed from an Earth core, and Spider-Man meets Spider-Man from other movie universes. Like, this is fun.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, Kyle.
Thank you.
I'm just along for the ride.
If I want somber and, you know, kind of slow-paced storytelling, I'll go watch Dune again. I might.
There you go. Something for everybody. It's either Dune or Marvel What If. Nothing right, in between. Those are the only media now.
Two genders. You're either Dune or you're What If. What is it? It's a Dune.
And back.
He just cut the cake open and sand pours out.
I think that's actually going to do it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the Obi-Wan Kenobi show?
Like a 1 to a 0. I'm pretty burned out on Star Wars at this point. Like if that thing comes out in its entirety and somehow gets like universal glowing reviews across the board, I'll check it out. But like, I don't know, man. It's going to be a pretty tough lift. Because the Boba Fett trailer is the exact same thing for me. It's like, what is this show even about? Which, granted, it's a trailer, so it's not going to, like, tell you everything that's it about. But, like, I saw the Loki trailer, and I was like, oh, that looks weird. Like, I'm interested. And the Boba Fett trailer feels like such a boring nothing of, like, this show is about the fact that Boba Fett exists. End of statement. like, and it's because it's not even, like, they didn't even go to the excesses in the trailer of like, what they ended up with in, like, What If? Where it's like a totally insane, like it was just Boba. If that trailer was just 2 minutes of Boba Fett like blowing people's brains out with laser guns nonstop, at least that would be something. You're like, all right, you're going for a vibe. Like, I don't know if I'm down for it, but like you're like flexing a little in some way. But it wasn't even that. It was like him existing on Tatooine and then like having a casual business meeting with other crime lords. And I'm like, what the fuck
Boba
are you even
Fett
doing?
Bureaucracy. It's Sim City, but right, Boba like, Fett and like, crime.
Boba, I'm not interested in Boba Fett personally anyway, but I'm especially not interested in him as like a like in management meetings. Like, are you gonna put him on a Zoom call next?
Boba
like,
Fett.
What are you
yeah.
talking about? So yeah, that Obi-Wan series is gonna have to really be something for to get me back in at this point. Or the Boba Fett show, I guess. Like, it's possible that it could be good, but I'm not holding my breath on that one personally.
I am, and I hope it kills me.
I like The Mandalorian so much, and it's coming off the backs of Clone Wars, which I also like so much. So, no, it hasn't lost me yet. Boba Fett's definitely an opportunity to
lose
me.
Yeah, but The Mandalorian...
Even Obi-Wan to an extent.
The Mandalorian sputtered to a stop so that this stupid show could exist. And, like, I don't know if they're going to pick up that mantle or not, but, like, the most interesting thing, and maybe some of this is in the stupid Boba Fett show, which I think also makes not a ton of sense because he wasn't involved in this part necessarily... of the Mandalorian narrative. Like, the best thing open at the end of The Mandalorian was, what's her name? Trying to reclaim the throne of Mandalore or whatever.
Who cares?
I was thinking about this literally yesterday. It's like, instead of a Boba Fett show, I wish they did the Bo-Katan show.
Yeah,
like,
right. Fucking A. That's where I'm at. Like, tell continue
a
story that makes sense and, like, has some, like, stakes and, like, that you've
but
already set up something for.
A woman.
I mean, that might just be Mandalorian season 3.
Maybe.
She's
but, yeah, I don't know. But that's where, like, that, like, on top of just, like, not being excited by Boba Fett existing, because I'm just not at that part of my Star Wars journey at this point.
You're
like,
not
that's,
16.
Like, the end of The Mandalorian season 2 really did that for me. I was like, why are we, like, grinding this thing to a halt just so we can look at Boba Fett's stupid helmet for 6 episodes or whatever? Like,
he wasn't in it that much.
No, I mean, I'm saying transferring into this show instead of like a Mandalorian season 3.
Okay.
Like, why are we doing this instead of continuing
a
narrative?
My understanding is that they're being made concurrently.
Yeah.
The fact that this exists doesn't prolong or delay Mandalorian season 3. I don't know.
Sure. And maybe that's true. Again, I don't know. I have no idea what's on there.
Originally, when this came out, you know, the dumb stinger at the end of the last season as well. Is this Mandalorian season 3 now? And no, it isn't.
Right, or like even like, is it gonna be like an old school like fucking Hercules Xena thing? Are they gonna like both run in parallel, and then sometimes the Mandalorian and Boba Fett will have a crossover episode where they both show up in their own like adventures or whatever. But like, no, it's not that. It's just we're doing Boba Fett instead for the moment. Which, like,
I
whatever.
Can easily believe this is like the executive said, "You're gonna make this show, period." And if you do that, we might let you do some other things you want to do, but you're making this show,
right? Whatever. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Focus groups say they love Boba Fett and will give us $8 a month if there's Boba Fett.
But yeah, my last thought on Star Wars is that at this point, I have no like intrinsic interest in a Star Wars thing. Like, it's gonna have to come out and be awesome before I give a shit at this point. Like,
so you're telling me we're going to the Star Wars hotel?
Oh, you know it. I've got my $6,000 ready to go.
Yeah, right.
I can't wait to see the people. I can't wait to see the light leave people's eyes when they're like logging from the Star Wars hotel, realizing what a shallow, shitty experience they got for their like $6,000 for like two nights.
I think I think Jenny Nicholson might be attempting to go for a video.
Because she
needs to document
it. Like, if
when does this open?
Next February, I think. It's next year sometime. If the amount of care that they've put into other like Disney park experience recently is any indication, it's gonna be just like every other fucking thing they do these days. They're gonna put in the least amount of effort possible, and you can already tell that they're charging the most money they think they can get away with.
I saw something from the earnings report. Again, this was also courtesy of Jenny Nicholson's Twitter, where they're, instead of raising prices on food, they're just going to cut down portion sizes.
Oh, yeah. They pissed off all the fat people.
And they said it's going to be good for people's waist
lines.
Yeah,
right.
Yikes.
I'm not sure, right? I'm not sure what that person thought they were thinking when they threw that out there.
It's Disney. They're doing it for your own good.
They should do that with the trams too. Since they haven't been running the parking lot trams, why should they just be like, it's for your benefit? Get some exercise on your way into Epcot.
We didn't fire everyone who runs the trams.
Right.
Walk.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that the maintenance was too much to deal with. It's that you're too fat. Get in there. Yeah, we will reconvene and talk about
the financial prospect of like going to a Disney park just upsets me. Because like, you know you're being screwed at every possible angle.
Yeah, and it's just become so much more upsetting over time. Because like I said, it's not even like there are the people who are too cool. Like there are people who are angry on the internet for different reasons than me, where they're like too cool to like Marvel movies or too cool to like Disney theme parks. And that's not who I am. I just want them to be good and be worth the money.
And the time.
And the time. Yeah. Like, the time is more the thing. Yeah. Like, so that was the thing for me with What If. I was like, this felt like a total waste of, like, a couple hours for me personally. But, like, yeah, the cost benefit...
You want a reason to be invested.
...of those theme parks is just so out of whack at this point. Like, the prices are just so high that, like, I don't even know what you could offer people at this point to make it feel worth it, considering, like, the prices you're starting to charge for some of this shit.
Kite shows.
The sad thing is, you know, the hotels are packed and the ticket sales are through the roof, so why would they change?
Yeah.
Sorry. Capitalism is spoken.
Right. That's pretty lame.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we'll be back. Talk about theme parks. We'll talk about Star Wars, I assume. Definitely talk about more Marvel stuff. I'll be excited to discuss Spider-Man one way or another. I'll be excited to talk about it.
Spider-Man. Yeah, that's a conversation starter already.
Right. And we'll talk about Destiny stuff because I'll be excited to do a Destiny thing. At minimum, we'll do one once that other patch comes out in December. A lot of stuff will have changed by the time
we still have
December
like
update rolls
a
out.
Tentative trials. Revamp that we
right well that's like
around.
We'll get around to it when we get around to it. Trials is pretty good. It's better than it's ever been, like functionally, I would say, still, which is like a low bar, but it's better better than being worse.
I mean, I went to the lighthouse for a second time that one week, so you know, I got that going for me.
And they're gonna tinker with it every week forever.
Right. Keep fucking with it until
what's
it's,
Gambit
until
better
it's
or worse
done.
What is Gambit? I don't know anymore.
I played Gambit yesterday.
Sorry.
I was on alone. And I was like, I need something to do. It's like, I haven't done Gambit in a while.
What could hurt my brain the most?
No, that was all the Altars of Sorrow I was doing later on.
But, thank you, Lorraine.
Wow.
For joining me.
Wow.
In person.
Wow.
Thank you, Kyle, for joining us on the internet.
Yeah.
Always here. on the internet.
He's changing the nuclear code.
We will reconvene with most likely those of us here and a few other people to talk about all kinds of that other shit. So until next time, we will see you later, internet.